NKSD Mission Retreat Media presents the gospel, God's power to save all who believe. This was the second message delivered by Reverend Isaiah Assen at the NKSD Mission Retreat Camp 2021 on the theme, Shoot the Arrows. May God bless these words on your heart in Jesus' name.
In this meeting and in our lives, whatever thing that we stand as a hindrance to receive blessing from above tonight, King of Glory, take it away. Bring our hearts together to focus on you so that we may not be distracted. Take all the glory, and as we continue and as we open your words of life, grant us understanding. Thank you for answering us. We pray with thanksgiving, and in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. I greet all of you in the name of Jesus. I once again want to celebrate the Lord Jesus for his presence. And I also want to celebrate our parents who are here with us, because each time I see them, I don't know about you, but I always feel secured. So I really appreciate you for being here with us. And for those of you who join us in the meeting today, I welcome you, especially in the camp, in the name of Jesus. Our uncle, our daddy has been introducing and saying Isaiah Assen has a wife. Truly the Lord has given me a wife of my youth, and it is just one good thing that I have here on earth that I cherish much, as Ecclesiastes says, that the wife you have, it is just one important thing that God has given us. Or giving you. She was supposed to be here too, but because our three children have a program in a children's week, this, and it starts today, and three of them are all participating, so she decided to stay behind with the children to guide them so that they will participate in the program fully. That is why she's not here with me. But as usual, as our people will say it, she has sent her greetings. Yesterday, by the grace of God, we started with the backgrounds to the shooting of the arrows. And we saw that so many high-sounding names were mentioned, both kings and even the well-known priests. But we discovered that sin was still operating freely, and God was still crying for one man that will appear and respond to the need. And we say that the reason why the high-sounding names, but sin was still operating freely, was because of the insensitivity of the people to what God wants or wanted to do. And so as long as God doesn't get a man, the work of God will continue to suffer. Today, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, we shall be looking at the second part of the message. But before we do that, let's read, take our Bibles and open to the book of 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13, if you are there, we will start our reading from verse number 14. I'm reading from English Standard Version. My Bible says, "Now when Elisha had fallen sick with the illness of which he was to die, Joash king of Israel went down to him and wept before him, crying, 'My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen.' And Elisha says to him, 'Take a bow and arrows.' So he took a bow and arrows. Then he says to the king of Israel, 'Draw the bow.' And he drew it. And Elisha laid his hand on the king's hands. And he said, 'Open the windows eastward.' And he opened it. Then Elisha said, 'Shoot.' And he shot. And he said, 'The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Syria. For you shall fight the Syrians in Afrika until you have made an end of them.' And he said, 'Take the arrows.' And he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, 'Strike the ground with them.' And he struck three times and stopped. Then the man of God was angry with him and said, 'You should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck down Syria until you have made an end of it. But now you will strike down Syria only three times.'" That's where we will stop. May the Lord bless his reading, his words, in the name of Jesus. Yesterday, like I said, we looked at the background to the shooting of the arrows. But today, we are going to look at those who God will use must be people with a burden. Those who God will use must be people with a burden. If you start reading from 2 Kings chapter 9, you will discover that from chapter 9, from chapter 10 to chapter 12, the name of Elisha is not mentioned. In chapter 9 of 2 Kings, if you read from verse 1 to verse 4, it was when God told Elijah to go and anoint Elisha and also to make Hazael king and Jehu king. So between chapters 9 to chapter 13, it's a period of about 45 years. Elisha's name was silent at this point. Why am I talking about this man? Because he was a great man during his time. A man that God used mightily to affect his generation. Elisha was not just a man. The end of this great man is as remarkable as his beginning. If you go back a little, you will discover that when Elisha received the mantle of leadership from his predecessor, Elijah, the same sons of prophets that were mocking him, when they saw him at standing at River Jordan, they were just watching what this man will do. When he goes to River Jordan, he stretched forth the clothes he received from his his master Elijah on the water. And he called on the God of Elijah, because that is the God he knew. The God that can do all things. He had worked with Elijah for so many years, and this man knew, understood what that God of Elijah can do. So he called on that God. And that God of Elijah appeared. And he walked on the dry lands to the other side. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, the Bible says when the sons of the prophets saw what happened, these same people that were mocking him, they now ran to him and bowed down before him and say, "Sir, we understood that your master has been taken up, but we are not sure that he has gone to heaven. We believe that he might have been somewhere in one of those mountains." So allowed us to go and search for him. When they persisted, the man of God allowed them. They checked and checked and checked, but they could not find Elijah. When Elijah got to Jericho, the people of Jericho came to him and they told the man of God, "This is our problem. As you can see, our land is so good, but it's not productive." And the man of God brought solutions to the challenge. That is the man we're talking about. The Bible says where we started reading from verse number 14. That now when Elisha had fallen sick with the illness of which he was to die. So some of us looking at that verse, you will see that death is one instrument or one other item or one other thing that way that the Lord harvests his people to heaven. It is not necessary. So there is no point accusing people of inflicting ailment or sicknesses on our lives, especially when we perceive that it is from the Lord. The Bible says that when he was sick and he was in his hiding place, in his secret place, it was there that the king of the land, Joash, runs to him. When he got to the man of God and he saw that this man will not make it to life, then he started crying. He shouted, "My father, my father, my father, my father, the horsemen of Israel and the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." I don't know where this man copied that kind of cry, that pattern of cry. Do you know that the same thing he said yet, Elisha said it, said the same thing to his master Elijah. But there is a difference. When Elisha was crying, "My father, my father," he was ready to receive something from Elijah. He was well prepared. But this king just came and was crying, "My father, my father," without preparation to receive anything from him. This man was crying. No, this king, not just a man, this king was crying. It will amaze you to see the king of Thieves Nation. Our meable Professor James Ayase crying because the only savior of the Thieves Nation and the only prophet that God honors in Thieves Nation is going. He was not just crying. Do you know that when the Assyrians, the king of Syria, was plotting evil to attack the Israelites, in his own bedroom, Elisha revealed it to his own king in the land. And the king was furious and asked his servant, who among us that is revealing our discussions to our enemies? And one of his servants told him that there is a man of God in that land that knoweth everything about you. Write whatever you discuss in your bedroom. Do you also know that? The same, one of the chief of army staff of Syria was a leper for so many years. And the Bible records that he was so important to the nation. So such a man, I believe that they might have taken him around the world to the best hospitals to see that that problem is solved. But there was no solution to it until they got the news that there is a man of God in Samaria who can take this problem just once. And when the man came, actually he received his healing in Israel. So this man was not, the king was not just crying, but he knew what he was crying. The reason why he was crying, my father, is because he was going to be left alone. There is nobody again to stand for the kingdom of Israel. Do you know that when Moses died, there was Joshua to succeed him? Do you know that when Elijah was taken to heaven, there was Elisha to succeed him? But when Elisha was dying, there was nobody, because Gehazi did what? There was no man to succeed Elisha. So the man knew what he was crying. My dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, the king, King Joash, has a burden. His burden was for the lost and people who will go and shoot the arrows. And one other burden was what will become of the kingdom of Israel under his care. Joash had a burden that Elisha is going, or was going, and there is no man to replace him. He checked round the nation, but there was no man. There were better trained soldiers. There were priests who were serving the Asherah and even the Baals, but there was no one who he will run to. This man wasn't a righteous king at all. But he understood the presence of God in that man that was living. So he was crying. My dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, he was crying because the enemies, the Assyrians, were still invading the cities of Israel. And even as the man of God dies, they will still continue to invade. There were so many people, but there was no man who would fill the position. And so the man had a burden. He saw that there was so much work to do. I heard the Lord Jesus Christ saying in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37. The Bible says the work is much. The work is plentiful, but the laborers are few. That is the kind of thing the king was crying. There are no people. You will see plenty of pastors in the church. Thank God that our church today have about 1,000 and something pastors, ordained pastors, trained pastors. But can we say that all of them are trustworthy, that the Lord will entrust his arrows in their hands, that they can shoot in the camp of the enemy? There is so much work. Turn to the left, you will see the work in me. Turn to the right, you will see there's so much work among the youths. And if you turn to your back, you will see there's so much work. Who are the people to lead the children? And do you know that in some churches there are no hands to lead the children's service? And thousands of people, of communicant members, and thousands of the catechism members, and those who just come to church are in that church. But you can't find people who will lead the children, who will become leaders of tomorrow. There is so much work. Do you really have a burden? Do you have a burden for the kingdom of God? I really want to thank the leaders, leadership of Mission Retreat. If I said I celebrate, then you may not understand. Some of you are today working with Jesus because of the work this people of God are doing. Many of us have come to encounter the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are becoming matured and matured and matured in the Lord because of the work they are doing. They have a burden that there are so many millions of people in NKST. But if you turn to the ministry, turns to this group of people to get a leader who is trustworthy enough to man a particular office or to head a particular area, you see that it's difficult to get somebody. So I celebrate them because of what they are doing. I want to say this because one of my brothers, during his secondary school days, used to take Indian hymn. I didn't know until I introduced him to, started bringing him to mission retreats, conferences. And the young man encountered Jesus, and he stopped smoking Indian hemp. Then he came to me one day and said, "Big brother, this is who I am. I take Indian hemp. But I have met him. When I met him, I have stopped." This is just one of the things that Mission Retreat has done in the life of just, I have just mentioned one man. If I will give opportunity to some of you seated here, you will give your much testimonies. So they had a burden that they must labor so that people should not just be coming to church, but should be true worshippers of Jesus Christ. There is so much work to do. I In 2016, there was a conference somewhere. And I also went to the conference to visit our classes. And I met some of our my colleagues in the ministry. In fact, some of them are even sitting behind me. And one of them told me that, "Pastor, what is going on in this conference is so horrible." I said, "Brother, what is the problem?" And so they told me that they have decided to become mobile police in this conference. Two of them that were working together. I said, "What's the challenge?" They said, "Some pastors with their friends, it could be Batame, it could be even the supervisors of me, that they had they camped somewhere, and right in the Mkoho, they sleep with the me, some of our doubters who had gone to worship God. So they have decided that enough of that nonsense. So they always post themselves around that place, making sure that nothing of such happens there again." That is in a conference where people had left their places in the name of, "We are going to worship God," just to go and be committing immoral. My dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, the decay is so much. If you go to what is happening today in the church of God, is so, so horrible. If the Lord has helped your life, better remain where you are. Some of you that when you encounter Jesus and you will want to run to the Pentecostal we used to know, it is not the Pentecostal again. What is happening there is far, far beyond what you used to say the Orthodox churches are dead church. Because most of those places they call worship centers are not worship centers for God or for Jesus. They are not places of worship. And most of these people have commercialized the gospel. It is not for Jesus again. So if you go to Orthodox, if you go to Protestant, come back to, in fact, all over, as long as there is no man that God will use in that particular place, you will see the decay. I heard, "Will you be that one man that the Lord has found worthy to entrust his arrows into your hands so that he can shoot in the camp of the enemy?" Do you really have a burden? Do you really have a burden? Are you ready to go for him? I heard a songwriter say it. "Hark the voice of Jesus crying, oh, we go and work today. Feet are white and harvest waiting. Lord, bear the sheaves away. Lord, are strong. The master called, rich reward he offers thee. Who we are so glad to see. Here I am, send me, send me. Where are the people? I want to thank God for one of our sisters in our church. I was discussing with her and she told me that she really had a burden for the young girls. So she had prayed to God concerning the issue. And God has given her the opportunity to go on. That she wants to raise 1,000 girls for Jesus. And so she says, she asks herself, how is she going to do this? And so she kept on praying and telling the Lord that you will help me do it because this is my burden. And I want to tell you that she has already started that work. She is committing her money in raising up girls who doesn't even have those to take care of them. She is sponsoring them, teaching them the word of God, and she says 1,000 girls must live for Jesus. What burden do you have? You are in your church. You see so many people that need help. And sometimes you say you don't care. You didn't bring them to this world. But that woman said she will raise 1,000 girls for Jesus and she is doing it. Again, my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, it was until Joash went to the prophets that Elisha began to set strategy for shooting. So my dear brothers and sisters, with all your intellect, with all your networking, with all your money, with all your knowledge, God is just watching at, just looking at you. And you can't do anything until, and we can't have a solution to our problem except we come to Him. It was until Joash went to the man of God that strategies were set for him. Because God is the one that has solutions to everything. Do you know that in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 17, the Bible says that when the king of Babylon had a dream and refused to disclose it to the enchanters and to his people, and he declared that he was going to kill all of them, including Daniel and his brothers. Daniel called his brothers, his three friends, and they went into their room and they sought the face of God. And the one that had solution to all problems revealed it to them. And so they saved the lives of the enchanters and thousands of people that would have been killed by the command of the king. So with all our intellect, if we have not come to him, we'll not be able to have solutions to the problems of our people. Verse 15 of this chapter, the Bible says, so Elisha instructed him to take a bow and arrows. So he took, and Elisha asked him to draw. And whatever instruction Elisha gave him, the man complied. He was so obedient. This unrighteous king was so obedient to the man of God. Because he understood the situation that surrounded him. So at this point, he was so obedient. So the Bible says, when he drew the bow, Elisha lay his hands on his hands. Why did Elisha put his hands on the king's hands? The hands of Elisha signify the presence of God. The hand also shows that Joash is only instrument to break the power of Hazael. But that the king must realize that his power lies in the power of Elisha. My dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, we are instruments that the Lord intends to use to launch his arrows in the camp of the enemy. The book of Jeremiah 51 and verse 20 says, we are his battle axe. With us he will destroy nations. With us he will destroy kingdoms. So we are only instruments. So the Lord can decide to launch you anywhere at all he wants you to go and do work for him. Some places may be so dark. Some places may be so difficult to operate. And so you may become afraid to walk among the people where he has sent you. But I want you to know, I have a good news for all of us, that God is not leaving us alone in this battle. His hand is upon our hands. His hand of victory is upon us. So don't be afraid. My dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, God may decide to launch you first to rescue your life from sin. God told, the man of God told the king, that you shall fight the Syrian from Aphek until the end, and you will defeat them completely. So what God desires in our lives is total victory over sin. It's not just a momentary victory. He desires that every enemy which troubles us and hinders us from working out the great purposes to which we are called of Jesus shall be consumed and be destroyed. And he says to the king, smite. And the king just smote three times. As we continue to trust the Lord in this battle to succeed, I want us to know that he is with us. One of our great, great brothers composed this song, and it says, I put my hand in your hand, O Lord. I put my hand in your hand, O Lord. I put my hand in your hands, O Lord. I shall not fail, for Jesus never fails. So the one who is sending you, or who has sent you, is behind you. And so he will give you victory over all situations. Verse 18 of this chapter says, and the prophet of God instructed the king to put the strategy into practice. After setting the strategies, and the king complied to the latter, he is to put it to practice now. So, he only strike just three times. And the man of God was angry. He said, you should have struck five or six times. But since you have struck just three times, you will only defeat them three times. What do you learn from what the king of Israel did? I raise up three issues. The first thing is lack of persistence. Lack of persistence hinders many Christians to journey far with the Lord. When the strategies were set for him, the man of God says, you will defeat them from Aphek to the end, and you will defeat them completely. He didn't say, you will defeat them from Aphek and you will leave some of them. And so, God wants us to be consistent in our work with him. Do you know that some of us, because we don't have a burden for the kingdom of God, when we are saddled with the responsibility to do the particular thing for the Lord, there is no consistency in that, in such a thing. I read through the history of missionaries in Thieveland, and I discovered that within 25 years, the missionaries had just 5 converts. Just 5. Within 25 years, but they did not stop. Continue to labor and to die of malaria in our land so that our lands and thief people would have Jesus as their Lord. But for some of us, when we are given a leadership position to lead a particular group, and just few persons are messing up, so we dump it, we are not consistent to what has been entrusted in our hands. The second thing I deduce from the action of the king is he was easily satisfied. Just 3 times. Defeating just 3 times, so he was okay. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, do you know that some of us, once we have control or we are able to overcome a particular sin, especially the sin of fornication, so we are so glad that it is okay for us. This is just one thing that has been troubling my life. And so we are okay with that. And we continue to serve the Lord with several other sins. That is not the kind of thing that God of Yahweh wants for our lives. God wants total victory, total deliverance. Don't be satisfied with the little you've just seen. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary has given us victory over all, and has given us opportunity to go everywhere to stand for him. Why are you easily satisfied with the little in your hand? The third thing I saw from the action of this man is on the account of weak faith. On account of weak faith, the king has partial success. He had no faith at all. He had no faith in what the man of God told him. He was just doing it because he has come to him. Lack of faith. Lack of faith will take us nowhere. You remember the issue of the Lord of the court in Samaria, who disbelieved what the man of God said about the food, what God was going to do in the land. After a period of famine, the man disbelieved. And so it did happen in his eyes. Right at the gate, he was crushed. He saw it, but he could not partake in it. Do you also know that Naaman, the general in Assyria, wouldn't have received his healing if only he dipped himself in River Jordan just 3 times? But when he dipped himself 7 times, as instructed, he became cleaned. So the king lost through unbelief. He was not aware of the opportunity. So he treated the prophet's simple message with contempt. He failed to look beyond the prophet of God. He failed to look beyond the prophet, to God who sent the prophet. That is how some of us do. When we hear the message of God, you only see the small man that is speaking. And these words are not the words of Isaiah Asen. These are the words of God. And the Lord has sent it to you. And you may be here that this may be the only message that you will receive from God. I don't pray for that. And maybe you are taking it very simple, because it is from him. It's not from me. It is the Lord that has sent the message to you. My dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, if you have a burden, it is only those who have a burden for kingdom service that will work for him, that will avail themselves for God to use. Do you have a burden? I pray that the Lord help us, that in this meeting, as you leave the conference, God will lay the burden on your heart. And you will go not just to sit, but you to carry it out to the finishing. This I pray that the Lord help us to do it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love and your kindness to us. Tonight is another night of favor. It's another night of mercy. It's another night of grace. Lord, we pray that you help our lives so that we not take this night and your instruction very simple. Thank you for your message, especially that when we see how the enemy is rolling around us, many of us, we become afraid. But you have given us assurance that you are with us in this battle. Help us by the power of the Holy Spirit to believe you and to avail ourselves that your work and the things of our Father will not suffer anymore. Thank you for the word of life you have sent to us tonight. We ask that you cause these words to settle in our hearts and to give us a new direction, to give us a stability to carry out your instruction effectively. Thank you for answering us. And thank you for the good atmosphere you have provided for us to sit under your feet and to listen to you. Bless each and every one of us and continue, Lord, to demonstrate your love and your power in our lives, that the world will see and they will believe you, and that they will come to enjoy the fruits that they have seen in our lives. Thank you, precious Father, for answering. We pray with thanksgiving and in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Thank you very much.